Tom Ackerman.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's great to have you, Tom Ackerman, indeed with you until 11:30 when we take you to the NFL with the Cowboys visiting the Philadelphia Eagles, the first of three games on KMOX today. Today is a triple header. So if you're out shopping, returning gifts, visiting family, maybe getting in a little free time during this holiday break, tune in to KMOX in the car. You can listen to football all day long on 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, or on the Odyssey app. We have the Eagles and Cowboys starting at 11:30 this morning with a noon kickoff. We'll follow that with the Dolphins and the Browns, and we'll wrap it up with the Falcons and the Commanders. A triple header on KMOX as football fans are in absolute heaven right now. I mean, you start things off with the NFL today, this week, and then on New Year's Eve, you're going to get college football playoff action between Penn State and Boise State. And then New Year's Day, three games, which are just going to be amazing, starting with, I think, some fun matchups. You got Texas and Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. You got the showdown at the Rose Bowl between Ohio State and Oregon. You have a phenomenal Sugar Bowl between Notre Dame and Georgia. And, oh, yes, there are two games before that of big local interest. I know a ton of Mizzou fans are heading down to Nashville, and a lot of them are already there for Mizzou and Iowa tomorrow. And but for that matter, we have a lot of Iowa listeners in our audience. And the Hawkeyes, you know they're going to represent down there. So very smart of the Music City Bowl to get those two together. Mizzou and Iowa will be playing on Monday, tomorrow, in the Music City Bowl. And then New Year's Eve, Illinois will be challenged against South Carolina, or should I say South Carolina will be challenged by Illinois. The Gamecocks are a 10-point favorite in that one last I checked, but I think Illinois can give them some problems. Illinois is a really good football team. In fact, the Big Ten has already shown that it can push the SEC around. I mean, Ohio State dropped a hammer on Tennessee. All I heard was how good the SEC is. Alabama, they got throttled by Oklahoma, all right, in Norman. Period. End of story. And Oklahoma lost to Navy to wrap up their season with a losing record. The best of the teams that did not make it, not Alabama, not Ole Miss, who lost to Kentucky at home. No, the best of the three is South Carolina. So this is a chance for South Carolina to kind of save face for the SEC a little bit and drop the hammer on Illinois. I'm not sure if they will, but we'll see. I'll give you my picks coming up at 11:05. I'll add those two, the Citrus Bowl and the Music City Bowl, to our college football playoff picks. Well, what a fun week this is of football. You know, you've got the NFL games today. And whether we have an NFL team in St. Louis or not, you have a lot of fans who love the NFL and have a team or don't. A lot of Chiefs fans. I'm not one of them. We do carry the Chiefs games. I think that's great. I don't have a team. Drew, I don't have a team. I've always kind of liked the Cleveland Browns, but they're not really my team. I've always kind of appreciated the Eagles because my wife grew up in Philadelphia, but they're not my team. One of my buddies is a Jets fan who I love him, and I, you know, hope that someday the Jets can get it done, but I'm not a fan of them. I don't have a team. I just watch the NFL for the greatness of the players. I might, partake in a little bit of fun, as gambling is now going to be legal in Missouri. But it's not just gambling and not just fantasy football. But I started playing, and I'm going to start doing commercials for them. This isn't a commercial necessarily. I'm just giving you a little info about what I've been up to lately. This Underdog app. Have you seen this, Drew? Underdog? So you pick higher or lower on stats. You can pick, like I'm looking at it right now, Saquon Barkley against the Cowboys today on KMOX. Will he be over 0.5 rushing and receiving touchdowns combined or lower? Now, the obvious pick would be higher, right? He's going to score at least a touchdown. But what if he doesn't? So if he doesn't, you get paid 1.5 times the return. So you can bet, let's say, like $10. You have to pick at least two of these stats. You can pick up to 8. And then they just keep adding and increasing the odds, and you get paid big money. So this is pretty cool. I'll start doing commercials on Total Information AM about it, dropping the promo code Tom. But I thought, since this is a different audience, maybe just a little bit of a tip to our players out there who like to listen to my NFL picks and whatnot, Underdog, and use promo code Tom. I believe that gets you a little extra boost, maybe some extra bells and whistles on that thing. So make sure you throw Tom down. I guess I'm the only Tom that's on there. I thought it would be like promo code KMOX or something, but promo code Tom. So that's all well and good. Again, just something that's been on my mind. I played it yesterday and I won a little bit. You know, I had, I can't remember. I played like three different things and I ended up getting correct on the quarterback battles that I had. That Chargers game, I did both quarterbacks. I did various stats and I won. And I won on that Rams Cardinals game as well on both quarterbacks. Like Kyler Murray, would he rush for X number of yards? Matthew Stafford, would he pass for X number of yards? Higher or lower? Blah, blah, blah. So it's pretty cool. Football. So that is what's going on today. And I think the playoff picture, Drew asked me earlier this morning, who did you pick in for the Super Bowl? He just asked me when I walked into the studio, do you recall who you picked at the beginning of the year for the Super Bowl? And I said Bengals Lions. And it looked really bad for a while, but the Bengals are still alive. It is not over yet for the Cincinnati Bengals. They won yesterday in overtime over the Broncos. And if you're being honest with yourself, they are one of the scarier teams if they make it. But they do have a lot of help that they need, and they obviously need to keep winning. But the Week 17 playoff scenarios right now in the AFC, they're not really even mentioned in there because everybody else is clinching, getting close. You know, the Broncos clinched a playoff berth if they won yesterday against the Bengals. They didn't. So they're now 9-7. The Bengals are 8-8. The Bengals are still kind of hanging around this situation at 8-8. The chances are slim for them, but here's kind of the miracle playoff scenario for the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Bengals right now need to continue to they have to win out, first of all. So they beat the Broncos. They have to win at Pittsburgh next week. The Broncos have to lose out, and guess who the Broncos play next? The Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have nothing to play for, so they're going to pull their starters, and it should be a chance for the Broncos to get that win. But if the Chiefs beat them and goes to 16-1, the Bengals would also need the Colts to lose at least one more, which is not out of the realm of possibility, although the two teams they play stink, the Giants and the Jaguars. And they need the Dolphins to lose at least one game more at the Browns, at the Jets. That's possible. But both of those teams stink also. So, you know, it's a really tough road for my pick. Now, again, not my team, but my pick, the Cincinnati Bengals, to get to the playoffs, let alone get to the Super Bowl. I just, you know, it was a pick that went wrong. It went awry. The Bengals just couldn't pull out the close games. They had, I thought, a very good team all year, had some injuries here like everybody else. The best team in the NFL is still the Chiefs. The second best team in the NFL, we're going to find out. I believe it's the Lions, but the Vikings and Packers go at it today, which is a great football game. The Lions have got to get through Monday night to keep pace with the Vikings. If they win today, both of those teams are 13-2. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear about the Musial Awards, which are coming up after the NFL today at 4 o'clock. And the Musial Awards have already been recorded at Stiefel Theater in downtown St. Louis, and it was a great, great night. Larry Fitzgerald of the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals. Salvador Perez, the great catcher from the Kansas City Royals, both of them honored. And Bob Costas, who received the Stan Musial Lifetime Achievement Award for sportsmanship, introduced by his great friend and interviewed by his great friend on stage, Billy Crystal, the award-winning Grammy and Oscar host, comedian, actor, silver screen, superstar. I had a chance to chat with Billy before he went out on stage, and you'll hear that interview next. And again, 4 o'clock on CBS after the Bills-Jets game, you can watch the Musial Awards, the one-hour special that CBS put together from that taping here. It should be a lot of fun. Billy Crystal coming up next. We'll tell you more about the Musial Awards, and I also have some thoughts on the great Greg Gumbel, who passed away this week at the age of 78. We have at 10:30 Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens. At 10:45, we will break down the Blues-Sabres game today at 2 o'clock across the street here at Enterprise Center. At 11:05, we'll do our football picks, both college football playoffs and NFL. And at 11:15, it's Bernie Miklas before we take you to an 11:30 pregame of the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm Tom Ackerman. Thank you for joining us. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Well, for the sixth consecutive year, the Musial Awards will be seen throughout the country on CBS today. The network will air the Musial Awards as a one-hour special in partnership with the St. Louis Sports Commission and the National Sportsmanship Foundation. The broadcast produced by Al Roker Entertainment, the production arm of the 14-time Emmy Award-winning TV personality Al Roker. And they gave us permission to run this piece, which I did with Billy Crystal. I was able to meet with him backstage. The Emmy Award winner, he's won 6 primetime Emmys for his Grammy and Oscar hosting duties. He's also won Tony Awards on Broadway, and of course he is one of the most accomplished comedians and actors of our time, both television and film. He introduces Bob Costas, the Stan Musial Award Lifetime Achievement Award winner, on the show today, and I had a chance to talk to Billy about that relationship between the two.
Billy, why do you think your friend Bob is deserving of such an honor?
Because he's Bob Costas. He's had this legendary career. He's a man of great talent, obviously, but integrity, and he's a good person who gives of himself not only on the air, writing, but to especially the people of St. Louis. And he's just, he's a legendary guy, and I can't imagine the history of sports that we've gone through with him without him.
You two connected right away, didn't you? Your love of baseball, you discovered your both from Long Island. Tell me about that.
We have the same initials. We're both 6'3", 240, middle linebackers. We just like the same things. And he has a great sense of humor and appreciates not only the art of stand-up in particular, but comedy, and he gets it on a big level, the right level. And then the big bond that we had was Mickey Mantle, who we both got to know very well. It's one of those incredible things as growing up on Long Island, both of us, and Mickey was the guy. And then you end up being friends with him. It's surreal, but somehow kind of right. And Bob and I had moments with Mickey that were just so special. Sitting around talking late night at the Regency Hotel in New York, where we were always staying the night. And then when Mickey was about to pass away, Bob called me and said, come on, meet me in Dallas. Our guy's gone, and I helped him with the eulogy, which he so beautifully, delivered. So we've bonded on a lot of ways. I'm not just a fan of his work, I'm a fan of Bob as a friend.
And finally, a night like tonight, what impact could this night have on people watching, do you think?
Well, I think, for all of the people who are getting awards tonight, they'll learn about that there's a life other than sports that goes on at the same time, and it's about sportsmanship, it's about integrity, it's about giving of yourself on and off the field, and I think that's really important. And also, I think it's called the Musial Award, here he is. This is perhaps the most underrated superstar in baseball history. When you look at his stats, I mean, yes, he ended a long time ago, and sadly he's not with us tonight. When you look at a batting average of .331, 475 home runs, the same amount of hits at home as he did on the road, was 1815,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So 3,630 hits, and a good guy. So I think that keeps the word out, it keeps the legend. Maybe kids will go, who is this guy? And then they should learn about the history of baseball.
Thank you for being here.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you. That's great.
We can tell what a big fan Billy Crystal is of the game, too. You know, when he rattles off stats like that, we all know here in St. Louis, those of us who admire Stan Musial as a person, but also as a baseball player, we all know about the 3630 and the 1,815 at home and on the road. But when he just kind of rattles those off like that, he's like, 1815, both home on the road, right? Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a big Yankee fan, but has studied through the years and has admired Stan Musial. And it was really, I can tell you, rewarding for me, and I'm sure it would be for everybody, to know that Billy Crystal's a really good guy. You know, sometimes you see these guys in Hollywood and you wonder, what are they really like? You know, does he come in and like, okay, everyone look at me. What am I supposed to do? You know, he wasn't like that at all. He walked into the room very humbly and kind of, you know, shook a few hands. And then they set me up for an interview with him for this Lexus Lounge for the Sports Commission and the Musial Awards that they do together. They had me interviewing the celebrities. And he was so nice because, you know, they didn't ask him or demand him to do the interview. He just was there to take some pictures. I asked if he would do it, and he said yes. And then he gave us that interview that you heard right there, and then there were some pictures to be taken, et cetera. And I interviewed Bob and also Larry Fitzgerald, Salvador Perez, and some others upstairs. But Billy stayed and wanted to talk some more. And he and I were talking about St. Louis and the Cardinals and Bob and, you know, all of it tying together. And he's just the real deal. That was a really nice thing to know, that he's a genuine guy and a good guy. I heard the same from Chris Pronger when I posted that I had a chance to talk to Billy. Pronger said that he met him one time and posted a picture of himself with his son and Billy Crystal, and said that he just stuck around and talked and genuinely wanted to talk sports with Prongs. You know, I really like hearing stuff like that. I'll tell you one more before we take a break, and that is about Greg Gumbel, who is also a legend in so many ways, like Bob Costas. Greg Gumbel on CBS for many years. For a brief period of time, he went to NBC because CBS lost the NFL rights. But when they got him back, he was paired with our own Dan Dierdorf for 8 years. And I know that Dan was really and is very heartbroken once he learned the news of Greg Gumbel's passing. That news came out on Friday. Mr. Gumbel passed away at the age of 78. He had cancer. And he didn't tell anybody. You know, I remember watching March Madness Selection Sunday this year, and they said that he was not going to be able to be there, and that, you know, we certainly are thinking about Greg and we wish him the very best. But they didn't say what it was, if it had to do with him even. But the fact that he was not able to be there. Well, as it turned out, this family situation that he was handling was his own that he didn't tell anybody about, and he battled cancer and passed away at the age of 78. Mr. Gumbel was one of those passionate sports people, but, you know, so calm and understanding. He could give a take on, don't get me wrong, he could deliver an opinion, but he did it in such a classy, professional way. He was a great play-by-play man with Dan in their final 8 years together at CBS, but he went on to become, I think, as an NFL host, he was terrific. But I love that he introduced himself to a whole new generation as the voice of Selection Sunday and March Madness. And he did that from 1998 on. And he was so good at it that he became synonymous with turning that television on at 5 o'clock on Sunday and watching Selection Sunday. And then you knew for the next month, Greg had you taken care of. And he was so good at his job. When I was in college, before he got that job, he was doing NFL on CBS. And I went to go watch him speak. He spoke at, I believe, IU Auditorium, if I'm not mistaken. And we all gathered to watch him, especially those of us who were big into sports casting and wanted to be him. And I waited around for him, and I just couldn't help myself. And I met him backstage as he was leaving. And he said, I said, "Hi, my name is Tom Ackerman. I'm a student here at Indiana University. And I just want to tell you I'm a big fan. I actually wrote a paper about you this year." And he looks at me and he goes, "You did?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Will you send it to me?" I said, "Sure." So he gave me his card and I sent it to him. Well, wouldn't you know, he sent me a note back and said that he loved it and he really enjoyed meeting me. Me? I mean, who am I? I'm just a kid at IU. I mean, the fact that he took the time to do that, and I've heard so many stories about him handwriting notes to people and took the time to take care of people. That says something. It tells you something about Greg Gumbel, and what a gentleman, you know, what a gentleman in our business. And certainly he will be missed. And it's why so many people are talking about him, not just because he was super talented, and he was, but he was someone that everybody wanted to work with. Everybody wanted to work with or be around Greg Gumbel. Let's take a break. We'll talk some college basketball with Josh Schertz, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. Next, they won last night. Wasn't easy necessarily, but nothing is in this game. And then we'll hear about the Blues, who play this afternoon at 2 o'clock at Enterprise Center. The Blues are taking on the Buffalo Sabres. 11 o'clock hour, we go heavy on football. We also talked to Bernie Miklas, and yes, we'll get into the Cardinals with Bernie. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
He might take one more shot. Let's see. Bodies fly. He faked him out. An ankle breaker. Bang! He hits a three. Oh, an ankle breaker. Yeah. Jab step. And then a step back three.
Woo! Give me some of this.
Shirts.
Come on. Josh Shirts with a tremendous son in Jaden Shirts making the play. He joins us now, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. Good morning, Coach. 78-57 win over William Woods. And a little icing on the cake there from your boy.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. Good morning. That was fun to see him, you know, score. You try to, those are his first college points, and you're just obviously as a father, you know, you're super proud of him, happy for him. Came in, turned it over twice, and then, you know, drove it, gets fouled, misses the free throw, and then makes that three. So it was super special. But you feel that way. I just think in programs, you know, your guys that are walk-ons, our managers, we've got 11 of them. Those guys, you know, those 14, when you look at the three walk-ons, Nick, Isaac, and Jaden, and our 11 managers, they're everything, you know, you want your kids to be, man. It's a selfless, servant, role. They come in, they don't get a lot of recognition. Those three don't get a lot of playing time. So when they come in and score, Isaac or Jaden or, you know, Nick's redshirting, but, you know, those guys, you really feel proud, and it's a heartwarming deal.
Yeah, that really is. And they do a lot, don't they? I mean, they're expected to do everything that every single player in that roster does, from conditioning to playing, working hard. They have to be on top of your scout, don't they? Do a lot of, you know, what you're going to face, et cetera. And then those managers. I mean, I know a lot of coaches that do get emotional on senior night when they have to say goodbye to basically their right-hand men.
Yeah, no, with the walk-ons, yes, you're right. I mean, those guys, not only are they required to do everything everybody else does, but in practice, you know, they're the dummy defenders. They're the guys who, hey, we need somebody to pass right here. Hey, go crash the rebounds, working on box out technique. Go box these guys out, play zone, do this, do that. None of it, you know, for themselves, all in service to get the guys who are going to play ready. So you talk about, you know, being selfless, being a part of something bigger than yourself, being a great teammate, you know, which is an incredible, you know, I always think is maybe the most important skill to being successful in life, is to be a great teammate. Those guys just embody all that. And then your managers, you know, all the behind the scenes work, making sure, you know, food's delivered, making sure that, you know, laundry's clean. I mean, there's guys in there, you know, we played the game last night, and, you know, I get out of here with media, you know, a little after probably 10:30. There's a group of managers, they're washing clothes, they're making sure stuff's clean, they're putting stuff away. They were probably here till 2 a.m. last night. And that's not just, that's every game, making sure the bags are packed, making sure, I mean, the amount of work they do behind the scenes to make sure that the program runs itself correctly, and that guys don't have to think about stuff, and the organizational administrative piece is beyond the pale. And that's why when you hire guys like that, when those guys leave, school, you're just getting an employee that absolutely checks every single box. They kind of understand the deal, and those wind up being guys that are super successful in life.
Oh, man, very well said. A lot of my friends are former managers at Indiana University under Coach mm-hmm. Knight. Some of the stories are unbelievable, by the way. But anyway, it's a job. It's work. It's an amazing journey as well, and very rewarding, and they are very successful in everything that they do in business. A lot of great, great people have done that. Josh Shirts is with us, the head coach of the Billikens. In fact, you guys are flying to New York tomorrow, right, to get ready
Correct.
For the New Year's game against Fordham?
Yep. Yeah. We fly out tomorrow. We play New Year's Eve at 2 o'clock Eastern. So we'll fly out in the morning. Getting the guys together this afternoon to watch film, obviously break down and kind of decompress the game from last night, and then certainly watch a little bit of Fordham, then we'll go to the court and walk through Fordham's offense, defense, and walk through what we think we're going to see, and hopefully get some of the guys that didn't play much, and Isaiah maybe get a little bit of work in for those guys who didn't play a ton last night, and then some guys who obviously were trying to get back from injury.
Is that exciting for you on a personal level? First A-10 game, first A-10 road game, New York City? You know, let's go.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. You know, I've heard so much about Rose Hill Gym. I've never been, but one of the, you know, iconic kind of venues in college basketball. And yeah, I mean, you know, this schedule, this, you know, it's why I came here, you know, was to compete in this league, to be a part of this conference, to compete at the highest level. I really think this league, when you look at it top to bottom, I think there's, you know, six, seven teams in top 100. You know, we've got, you know, we're not in that mix of groups yet. But you know, certainly it's going to be incredibly challenging. Road game, Fordham's won 5 straight games. And it gets, you know, you look at just the first 4 is what I've kind of looked at. You know, you go to Fordham, you come back home, play a great St. Joe's team, play a St. Bonaventure team that's 12-1, and then you go to VCU. So it's not exactly dipping your toe in. You're going to have to play really well. But that's the way this league is. You got to play really well, exceptionally well, to have a chance to win. And the way this league works, you can play exceptionally well and not win. So you have to play exceptionally well just to have a chance to win. I know I'm excited about the competition. You know, if you're a competitor, you want to challenge yourself at the highest level. I know, you know, I'm wired that way, and I think we got a lot of guys in that locker room who are wired exactly the same.
Sure. I mean, you've got one of the faces of college basketball on your team in Robbie Avila, so everybody knows who you are when you walk into the gym. And, boy, did he show up last night. I mean, you needed, without Isaiah Swope, you needed to pick up the scoring slack. Gibson Jimerson drops 28, and Robbie Avila fills up that score sheet. You needed it. That's not a bad William Woods team. If people aren't familiar with what they do, they're a pretty good NAIA team. But yeah, you got to show up and play hard against them.
Yeah, it was, you know, the game, like, it was one of those ones where, you know, in hindsight, I you know, like, William Woods was probably a better game than you want coming out of Christmas with, you know, after a 4-day break and 2 practices. And then without, you know, without Isaiah, without KT, obviously made it more complicated. And there was a, we thought, you know, might be without Robbie as well, which was good. He was able to play. So, you know, no, they're a really good team, very well coached. You know, they've got good players. I mean, they're, you know, they're a team that, you know, started the year kind of outside the way NAIA works, but they were, you know, they're 12-2. They've got 2 losses, both to you know, nationally ranked teams by 2 points and 4 points, and they'll be competitive to win a national championship at that level. There's no question in my mind. Their size, athleticism, I mean, that's a good basketball team, extremely well coached, and like I said before the game, and it was true, equivalent to a lot of the, you know, the some of the lower major teams we played in terms of, you know, in this season. So, but I thought Rob was really good. Had some, you know, we needed it. His passing, you know, he's got to, you know, finish some plays around the rim. I thought he left a couple of plays on the table. He would tell you that. But, you know, did a really good job facilitating, made some big baskets for us, got the ball we needed to, and, you know, converted in Gibb. You know, was you could tell early, was super aggressive. I love to see that. You know, he came out really hunting his threes, and, you know, and got us going early. You know, our separation early was really him, and just I love to see him come out and be that aggressive, letting shots go, coming off action and getting his shoulder square and firing it every time he puts it up. You know, you feel like it's going in. So the more he shoots, those quality ones, the better off we're going to be offensively.
Yeah, you play some good defense too. 3 steals for Jimerson, 4 steals for Avila, which is actually a career high for him. He had 6 rebounds to go along with those 23 points. He had a game high 6 assists. Like I said, he was everywhere. He might have even sold a few boxes of popcorn. I don't know. He was all over the place. And then Max Picard, guy has 5 blocks. Now he's you call him a unicorn. I know that Avila gets that moniker as well, but he really is. I mean, a 6'11 player who can play inside, outside, and can really be a problem in the post. It appears that he was last night.
Yeah, Max is a unique player, and they're unicorns in different ways. You know, Robbie's a unicorn because of his skill set. Max a unicorn because, you know, he's 6'11 with a 7'3" wingspan, and he's got this, you know, he's got incredible mobility with that. You know, Max's, you know, biggest thing is he's got a, you know, like last night, I thought, you know, against a team like that, they're so aggressive to the rim. They got guards and get downhill. They got a couple good bigs inside. His shot blocking, his ability to protect the rim would be huge for us. And it was, he not only did he block 5 shots, I think he affected or deterred, you know, probably 5 or 6 more. So, you know, there was 10 or 11 plays around the rim that he affected in a positive way for us and took points off the board for them. And, you know, on our team, you know, he's the one guy that can provide that level of rim protection. Now he's, you know, you watch him, he's got a long way to go from a strength standpoint. He's got to figure himself out. Offensively, I think there's things. He made a great pass to Gibson on a wrap for a layup, made a great high-low pass to Robbie when they were switching and fronting and flashing the nail and recognized it and made a great touch pass, got Robbie an easy basket. So his passing, it's coming together. Max is going to be a fantastic player as he's just got to continue to get stronger. His practices have gotten better. He's getting, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, anybody can bring a level of physicality to a game, no matter how skinny you are, frail you are, whatever it is. And he's starting to play with a little bit more physicality, a little bit more force. And that's going to be the biggest thing for him, obviously, is to build strength. So there is real strength, but also to bring and play with a level of physicality, even if you are, you know, 200 pounds at 6'11", that you can bring to the table to allow you to compete physically against these, you know, these 8-10 teams. That's going to be the biggest thing for him. But he was huge for us last night. I thought, honestly, he and Dylan Warlick off the bench were phenomenal for us, and don't win the game without those two guys and their production.
Well, Warlick is like just Mr. Energy off the bench. I think he is tremendous. I mean, he has a winning aura about him. He's all over the place, but he plays smart, but he's very strong, 6'5 guard. But you would never know that he had, what, hip surgery? I mean, this guy is all over the place. He's a tremendous player, I think.
Yeah, no, he is. He's funny, you know. He's a guy that, you know, we recruited Indiana State. We really, we were all in on him, and we didn't get him. And I watched him, and he's funny because, you know, and so when I got here and he was going to Wyoming, he picked Wyoming over Indiana State. And then their coach left late to go to Texas Tech as an assistant. So he went and he had the surgery. That's how we took him was, like I said, I watched him play. And he's a guy that, you know, you can't really, you know, quantify him. There's no like analytic for him because he's, you know, he's not an elite shooter. He's not a jet. He's not a high flyer. He's not, you know, I mean, there's nothing you look at his game and say like, oh, that's, you know, he's not unbelievable laterally or whatever, but he just wins. Everywhere he's ever played, he's won. I mean, he won back-to-back state championships at 6A Oklahoma, lost in the state championship as a senior to actually Jax Kerr's team, who's coming next year. They played against each other in the state championship game last year, but three straight state championship finals appearances, was the MVP of it twice, 2,000, 1,000 guy, then played AAU with Team Griffin, with a team with three high major guys. And he was their leading scorer and rebounder. And, you know, and it's like you can't, like I said, you can't quantify it. You can't quite put your finger on why, but he's just a winner. He just understands how to win. He plays with great toughness. He's got a great competitive spirit. You know, we were hoping, you know, when we signed him that he would be ready in September. He had a setback with the recovery and knocked him. You know, he didn't even start practicing till after, I mean, it was in November. Mm-hmm. When he began practicing, you know, so he doesn't even, you know, he hasn't done anything. He's still getting into shape. He doesn't even know half what we're doing offensively. But he's just really smart. He's got a high basketball IQ, and he's just going to get better and better. We're thrilled, you know, to have him. And like I said, I think he's going to, you know, those three freshmen, we talk about Max, Dylan, Amari, you know, the upside of all the injuries and everything we're dealing with, has been those guys are getting opportunity, and it's accelerating their development because, you know, the best player development is playing. And those guys are getting opportunities to play and play significant minutes and roles.
Yeah, Amari has that bounce too, that sort of difference maker. I can see that too in him, absolutely. And then before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you for an injury update. Obviously, Swope is the big one, wondering kind of what the next step is for him. And then if you could update us on Kellen Thames, and what's the latest with AJ Casey?
Yeah, so in order, Isaiah, you know, we're working through. We'll know some more today. You know, he's been dealing with knee inflammation. He obviously, you know, had the piece of cartilage that broke loose in his knee in December last year. Then he tore his meniscus at the end of January last year, early February, and played through that. Had surgery in the off season, you know, had some trouble with it in the summer, a little bit in the fall as well, had some shutdowns, and then just inflammation was bothering him, went to Grand Canyon, didn't think he was going to play. He did wind up playing, obviously, against Grand Canyon. And we're coming back from Christmas. We tried a different procedure. And, you know, there's just we hope we'll have some long-term benefit. but, you know, knocked him out for a couple of days. And so I'd say, you know, going into Fordham, you know, knowing Isaiah, I think he'll find a way to play, but, you know, be questionable at the moment. We'll know more today and certainly tomorrow practicing in New York, but we're going to try to do some stuff today. Kellen, you know, is dealing with a hip flexor issue. Obviously, there's two things going with him. One is hip flexor. Two is the cramping. You know, they're working on the cramping to try to figure out a solution to that. But right now what's holding him out is you know, he strained his hip flexor in the game against Chicago State. And, you know, he didn't practice that week, came back, practiced the Saturday before we played Illinois State. I was going to try to play some limited minutes there. Obviously, dealt with the cramping issues and has been shut down since. The hip flexor has been what shut him down, not the cramping stuff. So it's just taken a while to heal. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, obviously he wants to play. I think Kellen, obviously, for us is one of our best players. We'd love to have him out there 25, 30 minutes a night. You know, I don't know, you know, with the, you know, unless we get the cramping solved, if that'll be possible. But right now, you know, he's just working back from the hip flexor. I think he's, you know, certainly, you know, better than he was, but probably not in position to be shocked if he played against Fordham. And then AJ, you know, AJ's back. AJ missed, you know, we missed 37 days with a, you know, a high ankle sprain, you know, came back and has practiced, had two or three practices prior to Christmas break, came back and practiced the 2 days before, and looked better, physically. But he's just got to get back into the swing of things. You know, we tried it. We were going to play him some limited last night if we could. He got in the last, you know, whatever, 3 minutes. He's just working his way back, you know, and AJ's, you know, and now that he's back, and I do think, you know, he's capable of playing. He looks better coming back from Christmas to two practices. Now he's in the mix with, you know, Max and Killian, you know, for some minutes, you know, at that 4 or 5, and who's going to be kind of that guy that plugs in alongside of, you know, Robbie and you know, and Kalu. And obviously, you know, there's some other guys in that mix as well that can play alongside depending on matchups. But AJ should be fully, you know, cleared to go. But now it's just, you know, he's got to, you know, come back and try to work his way back in and beat out the guys that have been practicing the last 6 weeks.
Appreciate that. Billikens fans know where to go for updates right here. Josh Schertz every Sunday morning at 10:30, and a great breakdown of what happened last night and what's to come at Fordham. We appreciate it very much. Go get them on New Year's Eve and bring home an A-10 winner.
Let's do it. I appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks, everybody that came out last night. Have a wonderful New Year, and we'll see everybody back home again at St. Joe's next Friday.
You as well. There's the head coach of the Billikens, Josh Schertz. We'll take a quick break. We're going to hear from Blue CEO Chris Zimmerman starting the 11 o'clock hour, so we'll do some NFL picks between now and then on KMOX. All right, let's do a two-minute drill here and do some NFL picks. Drew Young is our producer. I'm Tom Ackerman. We will have Blue CEO Chris Zimmerman at 11:05, so we're switching it up a little bit. Let's start, however, with college football, and I'll be a homer here. I'm taking Mizzou and Illinois against the spread. I'll take Missouri -2.5 in the Music City Bowl against Iowa, and I like Illinois +10 against South Carolina in the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Eve. As for New Year's Eve with the college football playoff, 6:30 kickoff, Penn State, Boise State. Give me Boise +11 in the Fiesta Bowl, please. I think they can keep that somewhat tight. Texas, Arizona State, same thing. I'm going to take the dog here. Give me Arizona State +12.5. They torched Iowa State. They're good. I think they can keep it somewhat relatively close in a big game against Texas. I like Oregon, the number one team in the country, +2.5 against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. And give me another dog, Notre Dame +1 against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Okay, NFL. A lot of games have already been played, so this should be relatively quick here in the next minute. Jets at Buffalo on CBS. The Musial Awards will follow that game. I like the Bills in a meaningful game for them to continue to roll. I like them -10 against the hapless New York Jets. Vegas at New Orleans, two terrible teams. Do I have to pick this? Okay, fine. Saints +2 because they got embarrassed last week by the Packers. Indianapolis at the Giants. I'll take the Colts -7. Again, a game that really doesn't matter too much. Carolina at Tampa Bay. I'll go Tampa Bay -10. They need to keep on moving. Tennessee and Jacksonville is a pick 'em. I'll take the Titans in that one. The Eagles and Cowboys on KMOX. Give me Eagles -7, even without Jalen Hurts, who has had a concussion. I'll take them minus a touchdown. Miami at Cleveland. I'll go Browns +3, playing with some pride. Green Bay, Minnesota. Ooh. Packers +1. Does that surprise you? They haven't beaten anyone, people say. All right, we'll see about that. Later on today, Sunday night game, I'll take the Commanders -3.5 and the Lions -3.5 on Monday night. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. It's great to be with you. We're here until 11:30 when we turn things over to the Cowboys-Eagles broadcast from Philadelphia. At 2 o'clock today at Enterprise Center here in downtown St. Louis, a little Sunday matinee hockey as the Blues take on the Buffalo Sabres. And joining us is the CEO of the St. Louis Blues. The president of business operations is Chris Zimmerman. Great to have you. How are things?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Things are great. What a fantastic week having Christmas holidays, Hanukkah, and then getting into some hockey, a couple home games, and then to get to finish up with our trip up to that little place called Wrigley Field. So, yeah, there's a lot of energy in Blues country this week.
I bet there is. You played very well. And as you said, you get to go to Wrigley Field to take on the Blackhawks, the Winter Classic. Boy, did the Blues do a great Winter Classic here in St. Louis. It's been a while since we saw that, but they get to go up to Chicago and take on the Hawks. Until then, though, you have the Sabres today for a 2 o'clock faceoff. Let's first get your thought on the team itself. Winning at Detroit 4-0 was wonderful. I mean, anytime you beat the Red Wings, you're going to make your fans happy, no matter how often you play them or what conference they're in. And then the Nashville Predators, nobody's feeling sorry for them. They've been a thorn in the side for a long time. A 7-4 win. You scored 11 goals in two games, Chris.
Yeah, no, it is great to see the goal coming, getting more shots, and, you know, particularly in that Nashville game, some great shots, scoring from distance. As much as you got to get the blue goals in the blue paint, seeing us scoring from deep outside was pretty nice as well.
These holiday crowds are a lot of fun, and I know you're going to pack them in again today. I always feel like it's a great opportunity for people to see the Blues while they're in town, and I think that you make it a point to get those on your schedule, don't you, during the holidays?
Yeah, no, we've all, quite honestly, yes, we've always worked to play home games right after the Thanksgiving holiday as well as Christmas, and we've been able to do that pretty consistently. And yes, they really are special games. You get the sense of the number of people who are in town with family and have kind of over the years shared Blues hockey as part of their holiday celebration. So there'll be a great crowd again today. And, as Jim Montgomery has said, we need to make Enterprise Center a harder place to play against. And getting out early, getting those early goals is obviously that's an important thing, and we'll be looking for that again today.
Without a doubt, four goals in the first period and that 7-4 win against the Predators on Friday and the Sabres today. And it is one of the great fan bases in hockey. When you get them revved up, they don't let up, so that should be fun. And then I know they'll be traveling to Wrigley, and that had to have just been a great process for you to get back to that game, to see your fan base mix in with the Hawks fans and spend New Year's in Chicago. Can't ask for anything better, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, as you know, the Winter Classic has become the NHL's most iconic in-season game. I think the fact that our players, and the players really throughout the league, value the chance to play in these games so much, it's a very different experience. It's that feeling for some of them who actually started playing outdoors on natural ice or backyard rinks in Canada, it's a very nostalgic, just unique experience. These guys are going to play you know, it's a long season, 82 games. You know, sometimes it can even become a bit routine as you fight through the depths of the season. But getting to go outdoors, getting to play at Wrigley Field, and for us against the Blackhawks, it does not get much better.
The weather for that day is a high of 41, a 65% chance of rain. So we'll see where they go there. But that is, of course,
I don't trust any of those weather people, Tom. So I'm not even sure why you're mentioning that. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know what? We will ask KMOX AccuWeather meteorologist Joe Lundberg on Tuesday morning. He'll know. He'll nail
That'll
it.
That'll be better. It'll be different.
It'll be different. It's going to be a lot better for you there, up on the north side. How cool is that? I mean, all the Blues fans get to hang out at all those bars out there around Wrigley. They'll reopen everything and get everyone fired up for that game. That's going to be really great. And just two more things before we let you go. One is, how about all these prospects in the World Juniors? I mean, that is quite an accomplishment, actually, for this organization to have so many, more than anybody in the league, Chris.
Yeah, so the World Juniors is the collection of the best players under age 20, most of whom have been drafted, and we have nine players in the tournament this year, which is the highest ever. I tell people all the time, certainly in the decade that I've been here, and we've been in different places as an organization, but the depth of talent we have coming is exceptionally encouraging. And you know, typically, unless you're the superstar, you're going to spend a couple of years after you get drafted at age 18 continuing to develop and to get ready for the NHL, and that we have nine really of the top prospects in the world, you know, probably a year or two away from being here in St. Louis. That's an exciting thing for the development of this team.
Without a doubt. Blues and Sabres today at 2 o'clock. Chris Zimmerman is at Enterprise Center. Just wanted to say congratulations on your Jack Buck Award. I enjoyed it. We are going to replay the awards on New Year's Day here on KMOX, and you received the Jack Buck Award, which is presented to an individual in recognition of enthusiastic and dedicated support of sports in the city of St. Louis. And Chris, ever since you set foot here in St. Louis, you've done just that. So congratulations.
Thanks, Tom. As I said that night, incredibly humbling to be included with many other great both players, athletes, and others who have helped build sports in St. Louis. But this is a special place. It's been an exceptional experience for me. I love St. Louis. I love St. Louis sports. And, you know, we're going to keep bringing great things to St. Louis. And, you know, you guys have played a big role in that as well. And we're just really grateful for the opportunity to be part of this great St. Louis sports culture.
Frozen Four coming to Enterprise Center. The U.S. Figure Skating Championships coming to Enterprise Center. Make no mistake about it, when we talk about events coming to St. Louis and Enterprise Center, the St. Louis Sports Commission and the St. Louis Blues are arm in arm on this thing, helping out and bringing big events. And Chris Zimmerman is a huge, huge part of that. Appreciate this very much. Thank you for the time this morning on a game day, and good luck today against the Sabres.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Let's have some good fun. Let's go Blues.
Yes, sir. There he is, Chris Zimmerman, joining us on KMOX. It's 11:14. When we come back, Bernie Miklas joins us for the rest of the show up until 11:30, when we turn things over to the Eagles-Cowboys broadcast on KMOX.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, let's bring in Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Good morning, Bernie. How are you?
My friend Tom Ackerman, great to be with you. I'm doing wonderful.
Always good to chat with you. Happy New Year to you and your family, as we have a lot going on here today. You got the Blues game today at 2. You got NFL going on. You got college football playoffs. You got Mizzou tomorrow in Illinois on Tuesday. There's a lot happening, plus all the baseball chatter, et cetera, et cetera. And the NFL in full swing. It's a good time to have the remote batteries charged up and fresh.
Oh, no doubt about it. I don't know how I'm going to keep up with all this stuff the next few days. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I do know that. It's to quote Andy Williams and others, it is the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. Yeah, right. It is. It is. I love that. It is. I, as a football fan, I'm fired up. I do want to start with the NFL. We have three games today on KMOX. So what I've been telling people is just leave KMOX on in the car when you get in and out of the car and you're running errands or whatever you're doing today, or just have it on in the kitchen or something. Because what I do is I don't watch football all the way through. I can't sit there for hour on end. I got to do things. So I actually like football on the radio. I like to listen to it on the radio on the side. And it, you know, it makes for a good day around the house and elsewhere.
Yeah. And the NFL's been, I think it's been a really interesting season because you have the story of the Kansas City Chiefs, which of course are carried on KMOX. And it's remarkable that they seem to be getting better just at the right time. You have an incredible, in my opinion, MVP race because it's not just – and interestingly enough, Patrick Mahomes, who's the best player in the league, he's really not, a quote, a serious contender for the MVP. You know, it's going to come down to, like, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley. And I tell you another one, he's not going to get it because his team probably won't be in the playoffs. But no one, and I mean no one, has had a better season than Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow.
Oh, unbelievable. You know, I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl and win it. I guess I'm not wrong. Yeah, they're going to need a ton of help just to get in, but he was amazing yesterday. He right. fires for 412 yards, Bernie, 39 of 49 passing.
He's the only reason why they even have a chance. He's the only reason why they're 500. I mean, they have no defense. They have I don't know where they rank, but I know they're in the bottom five. They're terrible defensively. And for them to be sitting here at 500, it's simply because he's able on so many game days to overcome his own defense and to put up a bunch of points. And, you know, he's about as unstoppable in the passing game. He can run a little bit. But there's no quarterback in this season that is more lethal through the air than Joe Burrow.
No, he is phenomenal. Who do you think walks away with this thing in the AFC if it's not the Chiefs? I mean, which team do you think can go into Arrowhead? Because clearly the Super Bowl goes through Arrowhead now and come away with a victory. Is it the Bills? Is it the Ravens? Is it someone else?
I think it would be the Bills or the Ravens. It's tough because I think Baltimore's a more dangerous team right now because their defense is playing great. It like suddenly has become very, very good after struggling most of the year. But frankly, for all of the incredible, wonderful, amazing things he's done, Lamar Jackson has really been a big, big disappointment in the postseason. And until he can prove that he can go into any venue at any time, any place in the postseason – and put up huge numbers and win a game for his team, that's going to be hanging over his head. You know, Josh Allen, I realize, has never won at Arrowhead in terms of the postseason. But one of the games that the Bills lost there was that ridiculous game where Mahomes took this down the field at the end, what, in about 11 or 12 seconds, something like that. And the Bills have shown that they can beat the Chiefs. It's just that they've done it in the regular season. I just think, you know, I think Josh Allen is the one guy who never, ever is in any way intimidated by the prospect of taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And so as I sit here today, I would still say Buffalo's the biggest threat.
It's Bernie Miklas, who covered the NFL for a number of years here in St. Louis and also in Dallas. Bernie, looking over in the NFC, no doubt that the NFC North has the two powers in the Vikings and the Lions. They're both 13-2, and the Packers right on their heels at 10-4. But, you know, I wonder about the Eagles. I mean, if Jalen Hurts is healthy, the Eagles still have a team to be reckoned with. We will have them on KMOX here at noon.
Yeah, the Lions, I feel so bad for that team, and I feel bad for their fans. Because this was setting up very nicely for the Lions to be, oh, absolutely top team in the NFC. It's their thing to lose. They'll probably end up in the Super Bowl. They are so ravaged by injuries. It's unbelievable. It's not a fair fight. Now, their defense can't stop anyone, and I think that makes them really vulnerable. Yeah, they can win shootouts. We saw that last week. We've seen that in recent weeks. But I think there's a lot of questions about the Lions in the postseason because of that defense and the defense torn apart by injuries. And I think the team that I'm most curious about, and I think I speak for a lot of neutral football fans, I'm so curious about the Minnesota Vikings because they just keep winning and winning and winning and winning and winning. And yet there's this underlying tone of perhaps, well, I don't know if they're for real type yeah. of thinking. And the thing of it is, and I know a lot of those questions are centered around Sam Darnold, who has been fantastic. But don't forget about the Vikings defense. Brian Flores, their defensive coordinator, has got one of the most innovative defenses. He took the Belichick defensive system, which he coached there in New England, and he put his own wrinkles in it. And you just never know where the pass rush is coming from. He messes up the heads of opposing quarterbacks. So I think the Vikings are very dangerous. I'm with you, and we don't know about the Eagles as long as we don't know about Hurts. And I think there's a couple of dangerous teams out there. I know people say Lewis don't want to hear it. That's fine. We're just talking about playoffs. Sean McVay is an excellent coach, and the Rams are a team that they've reinvented themselves during the season. That's how good he is. They're now a physical power ball. We're going to hit you in the mouth. We're going to run over you. We're going to be in your quarterback's face the whole day. All of a sudden, they're one of the most physically impressive power teams the way they play. And they also, after a 1-4 start, they're 9-2. If I were one of those top NFC teams, I would not want to have to play the Rams as my first postseason game.
I think that's very well put. Bernie Miklas is with us for 5 more minutes. The NFL coming up, and we're going to go straight to it at 11:30. Bernie, before we talk, I'm going to have you comment on the Cardinals, just to tease baseball fans here. But last thing on football, the college football playoff starting New Year's Eve. I'm skipping over Mizzou and Illinois. And we've talked about them a lot, and I apologize to the fans on that. But I do want to get to your thoughts on the playoff as we look at Tuesday, Penn State, Boise State, and then the big trio, Texas, Arizona State, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame. Who do you think emerges out of there?
I'm having a hard time, Tom, with one game in particular, Ohio State versus Oregon. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a hard time making up my mind. It's funny because all of a sudden things have changed in terms of the perception of Ohio State. They put such a beat down on Tennessee. It's gone from, oh, Ryan Day is doomed, this team can't win a big game, yada, yada, yada. Now I think there's been an overreaction the other way. You know, the fact that they're a 2.5-point favorite over Oregon, which has been from start to finish the best team in college football this year, I find it's like, is it too much now? I mean, Ohio State is not going to be at home this week. So I'm kind of inching towards taking Oregon. The other game that I still am wrestling with is Notre Dame versus Georgia, because Notre Dame has an excellent defense, just excellent. And Ken Stockton, the young quarterback for Georgia, now that, you know, Notre Dame has had a lot of time to prepare for him, Gunnar Stockton, sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I find it's going to be difficult for him to be as effective as he was in the SEC championship game coming in off the bench. And even then, he made a couple of really bad mistakes. So I'm leaning Notre Dame, but I tell you what, man, don't ever count Kirby Smart out. I mean, they have been tremendous on the defensive side, and they just almost always are terrific in big spots. So I'm leaning towards Notre Dame, but I don't have a lot of faith in that. I think Texas puts it on Arizona State. It's funny, but it's like the teams they've beat. I saw a great stat. The teams that they've beat this season have an average defensive ranking of 76. Now they're running into maybe the best defense in the country. And I think Penn State will handle Boise State. I think it might be a little closer than perhaps we assume, though.
I like that. Just about 2 minutes left, so we'll have to keep our eye on the clock here at 11:30. But any thoughts on the Cardinals, as John Mozeliak and I agreed to take a few weeks off? That gave me an indication they probably weren't going to do anything until after New Year's.
Well, it's really, really interesting because you see possible matches for Nolan Arenado. You see the windows closing, you know, at a couple different spots. And until Alex Bregman decides, and his agent is Scott Boras, and we know that Scott Boras will take his good time to get a deal done. You know, he's on his own time clock, so to speak. Until Alex Bregman settles, and depending on where he goes, the number one position player free agent left on the board, I think the Arenado situation is on freeze. I don't think anything's going to happen. And more and more, Tom, and I wanted to throw it back at you, more and more, I don't know how to handicap it, but I think there's at least more of a chance of Arenado being a Cardinal in 2025 than I would have thought 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know how much of a chance, but I think the probability seems to be growing to me. But we'll find out after Alex Bregman signs.
I think that's the key. I think that he turned down Houston because he wanted to wait and see what other teams did. And then, you know, Houston moved quickly because, well, if you turn them down, I mean, they're not going to come back. So, you know, they are able to lock up Christian Walker. And, of course, third base now becomes Paredes. So it's going to be interesting. I had it at 90-10 that he was going to be traded. I'll amend that now to 75-25 and kind of roll from there and see what happens. But it's going to be, yeah.
It's not, you know, Lynn Worthy wrote a great piece, and it's going to be the taking over for Ben Fredrickson, who is leaving the newspaper business. Lynn Worthy is going to be an excellent columnist for the Post-Dispatch. He's got really good baseball expertise and got a good mind for analyzing things. He wrote a good piece today. It's still hard to fathom that Arenado and the Cardinals in 2025 would be a comfortable fit. Yep. You know, so I really hope they move him. Because it just seems like, as we've been saying, it would be best for everyone. It would be awkward, him coming back at this point, especially because they want to play Nolan Gorman at third.
Well, we'll be on the fast track to Jupiter here, the winter warm-up before that, very, very soon. Bernie Miklas, we appreciate it. Thanks, as always, for being with us on the show.
You got it, Tom, and we'll be doing the Gas House Gang tomorrow, 1 o'clock St. Louis time.
Yes, we will. The Eagles and the Cowboys now.